Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Personality Speaking. My name is Karen Ward. I'm a certified personality trainer and speaker, upcoming author, and radio show host. Personality Speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationships one personality at a time. We will explore personality-related issues and topics with our various guests. Tonight is our monthly Ask Karen segment. And it gives you an opportunity to ask your personality-related questions regarding your relationships. This week, we will talk about anything on your mind. I will also, discuss various topics that, may impact you or may not have impacted you, may impact somebody you know, such topics as handling grief, dealing with player haters, reconciling your relationships, and managing conflict. I really want to hear your thoughts and experiences regarding these topics or anything else that you have on your mind or heart tonight. If you want to share with us your experiences, your comments, or your questions, please dial into the show on 929-477-1876. Again, that number is 929-477-1876. Please press 1. To comment or ask your question, we have a screener. It's my sister Connie, and Connie will ask you your name, the area you're calling from, and the nature of your call. If you want to post your comments or your questions on my Facebook page, you can post it at facebook.com/personalityspeaking or invite from Facebook. You can post your questions there as well. I'm also on Twitter at twitter.com/PLikePeterERSpeaking. That's twitter.com/PerSpeaking. You can leave your comments and questions there. I think we're going to have a lot of fun tonight on some of the topics, and some are serious topics that we're going to talk about. But let's start with making sure that anybody's listening for the first time or anybody's listening and wants to refresh their memory on the personalities that I go over the brief overview of the personalities. So let's get started with that. There are 4 personality styles. You have 2 extroverted personality styles, which means you're outgoing and you get your energy from other people. And that's both of my personality styles are the outgoing personality styles. Those 2 are the popular sanguine and the powerful choleric. Then you have the 2 introverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from within. You really prefer to be by yourself a lot. And those are the perfect melancholy and the peaceful phlegmatic. So let's talk about your extroverted style first. The popular sanguine, if the popular sanguine had a tagline, it would be, let's do it the fun way. The popular sanguine, we love to have fun. That's our primary objective. Everywhere we go and everything we do is really about having fun. We also tend to be spontaneous people. We love just doing stuff on the fly. We're talkative, which makes us good radio show hosts because we love to hear ourselves talk. And we're loud and social. Everybody will tell you that I'm very loud. People have told me all my life you need to just, hold it down a bit. And I'm also very social, so I love being invited to parties and get-togethers and things of that nature. But we can also be very forgetful and disorganized. We can be egotistical and easily angered. Now, some examples of a sanguine personality other than myself would be Bill Clinton, Kelly Ripa, and Wendy Williams. Now let's talk about your second extroverted personality style, and they are called the powerful cholerics. A choleric, if they had a tagline, would be, let's do it my way. Now, the choleric's desire is to have control as their primary objective. They tend to be strong leaders, decisive, a get-it-done kind of personality. they exude confidence. If that person that you, when they walk into the room, you think they know exactly what they're talking about, they can run anything, they can make things happen, they're movers and shakers. That's the powerful choleric. But they can also be, tend to be strong leaders and decisive, but they can also be bossy and impatient. They can be quick-tempered and inflexible. Some examples are Dr. Phil, Donald Trump, and Judge Judy. Now, that's my secondary personality style, and people who know me will probably say a lot of those things about me, that I can exude confidence, I can be a strong leader, but also I can be bossy and impatient and quick-tempered and inflexible. So, like I said, some examples of Dr. Phil, Donald Trump, and Judge Judy. Judge Judy, if you've heard her on her show, you know she does stuff like, you know, say, that's stupid, or that you're dumb, that's a you're a dummy, or something like that. Cholerics tend to label people in a negative way when they're operating in their weaknesses. All right, so let's talk about the two introverted personality styles. You have the perfect melancholy and the peaceful phlegmatic. The perfect melancholy, if they had a tagline, it would be, let's do it the right way. The melancholy desires to have order in their lives, and they also strive for perfection. They tend to be highly intelligent people, organized, compassionate, and thoughtful. When you meet a melancholy, more than likely, melancholies have really big vocabularies because they're always reading and studying and you know, making sure that they're, like I said, striving for perfection. So they strive for perfection in all areas of their lives. They're normally people who have multiple degrees or are always studying. Even if they don't have a degree, they're always studying, and they know a lot about a lot of different things. But they can also be prone to depression. They could be moody. They remember the negatives, and they could be self-centered. Some examples are President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Beethoven. All right, let's talk about the peaceful phlegmatic. That's your fourth and final personality style. It's also your second introverted style. The peaceful phlegmatic, if they had a tagline, it would be, let's do it the easy way. Phlegmatic don't like to be stressed out. They like for you to allow them to be who they are without any pressure. The phlegmatic wants peace as their primary objective. You know, they tend to be loyal, easygoing, very consistent, and sympathetic. Those are the kind of people you want around you all the time because you know they always have your back. They're very laid-back personality style. But they can also be uninvolved, unenthusiastic, fearful, and selfish. Wow. Some examples are Keanu Reeves, Calvin Coolidge, and Princess Diana. Now, before we get started, I want to make sure you understand how to interact with us. We're going to take your calls throughout the show or your comments. So if you have any comments that you want to make, please make them. You can make them on my Facebook page. You can make them in the chat room, on Blog Talk Radio. There's, you know, multiple ways that you can interact with us, and I want to make sure you have an opportunity to do that. But anyway, go to blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking, and you can join the chat room there, or you can call in again at 929-477-1876. Please press 1 to comment or ask your question, and then we are able to make sure we entertain your stories. We want to hear your stories. We want to know what's on your mind. We want to know the challenges you're having and what you want to ask me in terms of personalities, because I'm here for you tonight. Now, I want to start by talking about grief. And many of us have experienced grief at some point in our lives. I just recently read a story, and all of us, I'm sure, have heard about this situation, but it's with Whitney Houston. We know Whitney Houston died back in 2012 of an apparent overdose, and not just 3 years later, her daughter, Bobby Christina, was found, in a bathtub, and they don't really know the cause of her death. That's something they're still researching. They're still trying to figure out, investigating is probably a better word. They're still investigating, trying to determine what really happened to her. What caused her death? And there's some speculation that they're investigating her boyfriend to see if he was involved in her death. So that's really sad to me, the whole scenario. But Whitney Houston struggled with drug addiction for years. There's been rumors that her daughter also struggled with drug addiction for many years. And so, unfortunately, she died 3 years later. Now, I was thinking, when I was thinking about this particular story and what happened, I really thought about, first of all, Bobby Christina, which is Whitney's daughter and Bobby Brown's daughter, died at age 22. When I first heard that, I was so upset about that. And the reason why I was so upset is because, number one, it's so sad to hear about anybody's child dying. Somebody as young as a 22-year-old, I think Whitney was probably 48 or something like that when she passed away. And that's also very young. But to know that somebody at Bobby Christina's age passes away is very sad to me. But it's even sadder because I have a 22-year-old. My youngest daughter is 22 years old. And I think about, what if that had been, my child? I mean, nobody wants to ever think about that kind of thing. But it disturbs me to know that somebody that young has passed away. So let's talk about Bobby Brown for a second. Bobby Brown recently released a statement about what he was thinking and how he was feeling about, and they call it his grief statement about his daughter. And it says, Bobby Brown has spoken out about his daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, who died on Sunday at age 22. He said, "Christy was and is an angel. I'm completely numb at this time," the R&B singer told Entertainment Tonight in a statement. "My family must find a way to live with her spirit and honor her memory. Our loss is unimaginable. I'm sure it is. We thank everyone for their prayers for Christy and our family as we mourn my baby girl." Bobby, also the daughter of Whitney Houston, died 6 months after she was found unconscious in a bathtub at her home in late January. And what I think is really odd about that whole thing is that her mom was found, in the bathtub as well. She was rushed to the hospital where she was placed in a medically induced coma for which she never recovered. So I think that all of us may have experienced something as it pertains to grief. It may not be a death that, has rocked you, but it's some kind of grief, a loss of a relationship, a loss of a close family member or friend. It could be something that's causing you to grieve something. And so I want to hear your stories. I want you to call in at 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. Connie will take your call. And I want to know, I want to hear your stories about grief. I have my own stories about grief. There are a lot of situations that I've faced in my lifetime where I've lost someone close to me, starting with losing my dad when I was just in my 20s, which was really devastating for me. I was very close to my father. My family is a very close family. Anybody who knows us knows that we are a very close family. And so when my dad passed away, I was devastated by the loss of my father. I didn't think that I was really going to make it through that devastation. But I did, and I'm thanking God I did, because so many people have a hard time managing grief and difficulty. Now, during the time when my dad passed away, I was not saved. So where I'm in a very different place now, these days in my life, I wasn't then. I was in a place then where I felt very alone. I felt very much by myself. I felt like I didn't have anybody. And I just remember, you know, one of the things that Bobby Brown said is he felt numb when he lost his daughter. That's how I felt when I lost my dad. So I could totally relate to what he was saying, is because I felt numb. But not only did I feel numb, but I also felt as though nobody understood what I was going through. Like, I knew I had brothers and sisters who was going through it with me, but you just feel like you're grieving all by yourself, and that you don't know the way to get out of grief, how to deal with the grief, how to deal with the pain, how to deal with the hurt. It's hard. And so I just really want people to really talk about their stories. Now, when I lost my dad, it was sudden. My father had been ill a bit before he died, but we never thought that he was just going to pass away. And so when I got the phone call, remember, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, November the 1st. And it's funny because after he died, for many years, I couldn't remember the day he died, because he actually died, it was the night after Halloween. But anyway, I was asleep, and I got a message that my dad wasn't feeling well, and I was thinking to myself, okay, make sure you're warm, make sure you have everything you need when you go over there, because, you know, you may not come home tonight or whatever. And when I got to the house, because I was told to come to the house, and when I came to the house, my mother wasn't there, and my sister-in-law was there, and a few other people were there. And I remember her telling me how, you know, for us to pray. And I remember her saying that that it wasn't his time to go, and that God wasn't going to take him. And I can't remember exactly the words that she said, but I do remember the essence of what I thought she was saying to me. And that was, he was too early, he was too young, and it wasn't his time, and he wasn't going to go, and he wasn't. And I held on to that because I didn't have my own faith to hold on to. So I was holding on to someone else's faith. And some of us might relate to that, where we think that, you know, we don't know God for ourselves. So if somebody's telling us something, we're going to believe what that person says, because we feel like, okay, well, she has a connection to God, and God's talking to her, so she can probably tell me, tell me what God is thinking or God is going to do. Let me just tell you, it bothered me for so long because I felt like it was so unfair for my dad to die when I was 26 years old. And I really felt as though when she told me that he was too young and it wasn't his time to go, that she knew what she was talking about. Like, she could tell me the time my dad was, how long my father was going to be on this earth. And I really kind of was resentful of that for a long time, resenting the fact that, you know, somebody who was a Christian told me that my dad wasn't time for him to go yet. And, you know, and I know why she said what she said, but now I do, but I didn't know then. And so it's really interesting when you're going through this process of grief, how we deal with this. You know, how you manage your pain and your agony and your hurt and your disappointment, and do you know Christ? And if you don't know Christ, what does that mean to you? How do you grieve if you don't know God? You know, do you grieve in the flesh and crying and breaking down and going into a depression? I mean, I remember 2 years of just not being able to even say my father passed away or even bring my father up because it was so painful for me. Now, you know, let's move forward. And I lost, since then, I lost my sister, my brother, and my mom. Now, I've lost other family members, you know, that are close to me as well, but I'm just talking about these in my family structure. And I lost them, and I'm saved now. And so the question is, you know, what is the difference between losing your family members saved and not saved? And for me, it is grieving with hope, as the Bible says. It talks about, you know, that it's okay to grieve, but it's, you know, you can't grieve without hope as a Christian. And there are a lot of people who don't grieve, that grieve without hope. And I know that I'm going to see my family members again. I miss them. I miss that they're not here. I wish that, you know, they were here, to my mother and my father especially, to guide me and direct me. And I just remember thinking, you know, I felt so alone and disconnected. And it's so funny because I have family members who were like, you know, if you need me, I'm here for you. And all I needed was my mother, or all I needed was my father. And I appreciated, you know, the family members saying that to me. And, you know, if you want to talk, you can talk. But I just wanted them. I wanted to talk to them, and I wanted to see them, and I wanted to spend time with them. So it was really, really sad for me, and very hurtful that I was not able to share that with other people. I had a friend whose mom died a few months before my mother died. And she wanted, you know, she felt like we were sharing this experience together. And what I felt was, it was overwhelming for me to share my experience with her, because she was still going through her own pain of grief just a couple of months before me. You know, her mom passed away, I think it was, let's see, 4 months. 4 months before my mother passed away, her mother passed away. And I'm thinking, I just can't handle this. I know she needed it, but I couldn't even wrap my head around dealing with somebody else's pain along with my own. Mine was so heavy. It was so deep. It was so gut-wrenching that I just couldn't add another layer on top of that. If you understand what I'm saying, call in and tell me all about it. 929-477-1876. I want us to be able to talk about it tonight. Okay. Let's talk about the different personalities. And let's talk about how the personalities, you know, deal with grief. But before I even do that, I'm going to tell you something. I've read this article. And in this particular article, it was talking about how to grieve God's way. And one of the things it was saying is that in order for you to do that, that one step in overcoming your grief is that you got to have the right perspective of it. And what they mean by that is, first, you have to realize that grief is a natural response to pain and loss. Who knew? Of course, we knew it was a natural response to pain and loss, but the reason why I decided I wanted to talk about that tonight is because as Christians, sometimes I think we think it's not okay for us to grieve. If, you know, if we grieve, that means we're weak. If we grieve, that means that that we're not godly. If we grieve, it means that we don't trust God or we don't believe God. That's not true. Absolutely not true. So we just need to know that it is a natural response to pain and loss. Now, this is important for the choleric especially to know. And the reason why it's important for the choleric to know, it's because cholerics sometimes consider other people as weak if they tend to grieve for too long of a period of time, or grieve at all, because they just feel like, okay, let's get back to work, let's get things done, let's make things happen, you know, and the quicker I can get over this thing, the easier it is for me. So let's not talk about it anymore. You know, the funeral's over, everything's done with, and let's just move forward. So colleagues seem to understand that sometimes you've got to take the time to grieve God's way. Then the second thing that I read, it was that there's a purpose for our grieving. there's a purpose, and I did a speaking engagement called Purpose for Your Pain. There's a purpose for your pain. So there's a purpose for our grieving. In Ecclesiastes 7:2, it says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. This verse simply implies that grief can be good because it can refresh our perspective on life. It makes you realize what's important. It makes you realize who is important to you. It makes you realize that no matter what happens, God is in the midst of your situation. No matter what, He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. No matter what, we're going to get through whatever the grief is. So it helps you to get a whole fresh perspective on your situation and on your life, if you choose to take that. Now, we all know that some people take the negative route and don't see the fresh perspective. All they see is their grief, and they can't get out of their grief. God doesn't want that for us. So this understanding there's a purpose for our pain and for our grieving, sanguines and phlegmatics need to know this. Because sanguines and phlegmatics, they don't like to go through the difficult times. And they don't like to go through difficult times because, as I've always said, a sanguine does not like to be unhappy. We want to cry, you know, be hurt, go through the pain, and be done with it, just like a choleric, because we want to start laughing again, and we want to have fun, and we want to enjoy our life. Otherwise, we're depressed. So we really try to move through the grief and the pain, and sometimes we don't spend enough time dealing with how we feel because we want to get through it so quickly. Phlegmatics don't like to go through grief and pain because they don't want to deal with the pain of their feelings. They don't want to deal with that stuff. You know, that's work. I don't want to have to deal with how I feel or even talk about it. It's so funny. I have a phlegmatic daughter, as I told you guys before. And I asked her a question about her feeling tonight. And every time I ask her how she feels about something, she gives me the same response. She first rolls her eyes and gives me a side eye. And then she'll go, like, why do I have to talk about my feelings? I think that is hilarious to me. But she does it every single time, you guys. So phlegmatics, they don't like to deal with their feelings. They don't want to talk about their feelings. It's just not something they're into. So they don't want you to ask them, how do you feel? I remember asking that same phlegmatic daughter when she came home from school, how was your day? She didn't want to talk about how my day is. Like, Mom, do I have to talk? Why I got to talk to you? You know, why I have to tell you my thoughts and feelings? Because that requires work on my part. No, I don't really want to do that. So I want to talk to you about the third thing about grief, and it's that we have to remember that feelings of grief are temporary. In Psalm 35, it says, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. In other words, there's an end to our mourning, and there should be an end to it. If somebody died, 12 years ago, and you're still in mourning, that's depression, and that is not of God. That doesn't mean that you don't think about a person that may die 12 years ago and you get sad. That doesn't mean that. It means that you stay in a place of grief where you can't get out, and you're always sad, and you can't bring the person's name up, and you can't think about them, and you can't move forward. You can't live your life because somebody passed away. Because grief, there's an end to it. Grief has a purpose, but there's also a limit to your grief. This is especially important for our melancholy personality style, because melancholies tend to grieve for a long period of time. I think in some ways they feel a little bit of guilt if they feel like they don't grieve long enough. But you have to have a limit to how long you are grieving. There's a limit to it. Okay. So let's talk about player haters. Now, meanwhile, we're still going to take your calls. So when they pop in, we'll take your calls. I know there's a call on the line right now, but I'm going to start the discussion about player haters. Okay. We do have a call. We have Brianna in Fort Washington, Maryland. And she has a comment. So let me open a line. Hi, Brianna.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for calling Personality Speaking.
Well, I just had to call and defend myself. Sitting here, I'm trying to cook dinner, and then I hear my name come up, and I hear you say, oh, my daughter, she's phlegmatic, and she doesn't like talk about her feelings. It's not the fact that we don't want to talk about them. It's just we feel like we talk about feelings when we need to talk about them. If there's no reason to bring up our feelings, we're not going to just volunteer information or give you information on your ass because we just don't feel like that's needed.
Well, thank you, Brianna, for calling in. So let me explore this a little bit with you. And by the way, for everyone listening, obviously Brianna is my daughter, and she wanted to defend herself on this call.
I want to defend all phlegmatics. I don't want to defend myself, even though I'm normally the one you pick on, but I just want to defend all of us because we're not going to speak up. We just want to ignore it and just let it happen. But I want to speak up for all of us.
Okay, so you said you want to ignore it and just let whatever your feelings just happen, right?
Yeah, we just want them just happen and then let them pass through. It's not, we're normally not in our feelings for long periods of time, so we just want whatever, however we're feeling at that moment, you know, just pass through. We don't want anyone to ask us, well, how do you feel about that? Or, you know. Like, we don't want to hear that. Like, if I really feel some type of way about a situation or if I'm going through something and I feel like I need to say something, then that's what something will be said. Otherwise, it's just like, it's going to be hard pulling us out of it because you're not going to get too much information.
And I'm glad you shared that, Brianna, because all jokes aside, because I think people need to understand this about phlegmatics. Phlegmatics are not open to just sharing how they feel about things. And so parents like me who want to talk, you know, I'm a talkative parent, and I want to know how my children are feeling because I want to make sure if you're running into some difficulty, I can help you, and I want to make sure you feel like you can talk to me. But yet, you really don't want to do that. So what advice would you have with a parent like me or like any parent that really wants to stay in touch with their phlegmatic children? What advice would you give them if we feel like, you know, we don't know what's going on with you, but we want to help you, we want to be there for you, especially when you go through a difficult time, we want to make sure we're there for you. How can we do that for you?
I would just say be on standby for whenever they're ready to open up, because, again, if you ask them, you know, how do you feel about that or what's going on, they're not going to give you much information unless they feel like, oh, it's something worth talking about. Because especially you choleric and sanguine parents, like, you guys are already at a 10. So if we feel like the situation is a 2, you're going to go beyond it what we feel like it should go. Like, we feel like, okay, Mom, it wasn't that serious. You guys are like, what? Are you serious? And we just feel like, you know, you stressing me out too much. You're doing too much with, you know, your response. So sometimes you just got to be on standby for if we're ready to talk. Otherwise, don't stress it. Like, just don't.
Okay, so that's another point that you made. And actually, it's so funny because I'm glad people are able to listen to a phlegmatic talk because they don't talk that often. So when they are talking, exactly, we should be listening. But additionally, when you made a comment, you said the sanguines and cholerics are always on 10. And you said, when you made that comment to me earlier today, you said to me that we're always on 100. And when we're already at 100, and then when something really serious happens or when we get really angry or whatever, then we are on a 500. And that's how you know the difference between something serious and something not serious. And most people don't know that. So
right.
I
they
think
just
that's
think
something
you're already mad.
Right. Because we start out at 100.
Right. It's not level. It's not leveled at all. It's just like you're naturally height, you're naturally, you know, you're just on 100 already. So you could be talking about a coupon deal, no shade, and how you want to miss it or something. And someone could be like, oh, my gosh, she's really upset. It's like, no, you're excited. You're not upset, you're excited. There you go, that's a good word. And versus when you're really upset about something, you know, maybe you got into an accident or something, you know. To some people, it might be the same thing, but for me, I'm like, okay, no, she at 500 right now, but her coupon is, she does at 100, but that's where she starts off at, so.
And I just say thank you for sharing that, because for those of you who are listening and you're trying to understand why the sanguine and choleric, we start out loud, we're loud, we're excitable. When we communicate, we're very passionate. And that's what Brianna means by starting out at 100, because we start out all excited and loud and passionate and sometimes crazy sounding. So we start out that way, and people don't understand that we are not angry or upset. We're just excited, or we're just passionate about what we're talking about. And that was always very upsetting for me in business, because when I was in the corporate world, when I got passionate about something, they would take it as I was aggressive. You know, or I was, you know, she must be angry, or you know, I have the angry black female syndrome or something like that. But that's not the case. And you summed that up really well for me when you said that, because I was talking to Brianna about another incident, and she was saying, oh, yeah. I said, why does she think I was angry? And she said, because you start out at 100. And then, but people don't know, you have to, when you get to 500, that's when you're angry. At 100, you're normal.
Right.
So it makes me really take a look at myself.
And it takes a lot for a phlegmatic. So it's just like, you know, it has to take a lot for someone, you know, to aggravate, or it has to be an ongoing situation for us to get to a 50. So people like me might not understand, like, why did she start off at 100 already? And, like, you know, it was not that serious, because it takes us, you know, a longer time to really
to even get to
50, like I said, like not even 100. It has to be something serious for 100.
Right. And anybody who has phlegmatic children listening on the call or will listen in later, you understand exactly what she's talking about, because there's very little enthusiasm and excitement. And matter of fact, the excitement that you hear of her voice in this communication is because Brianna is secondary sanguine. So she can pull that sanguine out when she wants to, but it's not always. And she doesn't get excited about much. So it's really, you know, I'm excited that you came on the call. I appreciate you
talking to me
and letting all the other people on this call know about the phlegmatic personality style, because sometimes that can be a very elusive personality style. We don't really know how to approach it, how to motivate that personality style, how to bring stuff out. So I really appreciate your perspective. Thank you for calling in, Brianna. I'm going to put you back on mute.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You enjoy Brianna really talking to us about the phlegmatic personality style and defending herself, and not just herself, as she said, all the other phlegmatics in the world. She wants to make sure that she's standing up and making sure, you know, people understand the phlegmatic personality. It is a complicated personality style at times, because you just don't know. You can't look at them and see that they're happy or sad or, you know, miserable, or you really, it's hard for you to read them. And because of that, you're not sure whether or not you're addressing the needs of your child. So I appreciate Brianna giving us that feedback, because I think that's really valuable feedback. All right, so let's talk about player haters. Player haters. Are there people in your life that can't seem to be happy for you no matter what. I mean, you could be buying a house or got a new job or got a new position in your company. I mean, it could be so many different things that's going on in your life. But yet people don't seem to be happy, or they're talking behind your back, or they're stabbing you in the back, or, you know, they're just hating on you, just hating on everything that, you know, the Lord has given you a ministry, and they're hating on your ministry, you know, or you got a new boyfriend, or you got married, and they're hating on that, or you're pregnant and you're having a baby, or you just had a baby, and they're hating on that. There's nothing you can do that they seem to be happy about. I want to hear about those individuals. If you have that person in your life, if you're already on the line, just press 1, and Connie is going to screen your call to find out where you're calling from and the nature of your call and your name. And then she's going to put you in queue, so I see you came up like Brianna did. But also, I want you to be able to, if you want to post your question or comment and you don't really want me to mention your name, you can post it on my Facebook page, and I will just, you know, mention the comment. Also, on the invite or the invite from Facebook, you can post your comments and questions there. But anyway, but I want to hear your thoughts about grief. I want to hear your thoughts about player haters or any topic that we're talking about tonight. But I also want to hear your thoughts about anything that is challenging you that you might want to talk about. All right, so let's talk about the player haters. I remember when I was young, a young girl, and people used to say terrible things about me that hurt me to my heart. It would break my heart. And one of the things they used to say about me is that I was fast. And back in the day, that's what, you know, we call fast as girls who would sleep around, that I was loose and I would sleep around. And I was really devastated by that because I was a virgin. And so I didn't understand why people would say that about me, and they didn't even know me. I think partially because I had a lot of male friends, and I was hanging around guys all the time. And I didn't realize that people would say the meanest things about me. So it's just really interesting the kind of thing that people do to you and destroy your character, even when you haven't done anything wrong. Now, before I continue on with the player haters, I have a call from Dion in Minneapolis, and I want to hear her question about grief or comment about grief. Dion.
Yes.
Welcome to Personality Speaking.
Well, thank you. Actually, this is my first time listening to your program. I was sitting here next to my friend, and I'm actually doing a research study on grief. And its effect on marital satisfaction for college. But I'm also a person who has lost, my husband and I lost our 22-year-old 6 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry
cancer.
To hear that.
No, thank you very much, which is always a weird response to when people tell you that because you're kind of wondering whether or not you're saying thank you for the sympathy or the empathy,
right,
or whether, you know, it's just kind of those weird responses that are involved in all of that. I'm a Christian. I've been saved since I was 14 years old, have been a minister, all the rest of those things. And so in the process of when our son was first diagnosed with cancer, one of the first things that I did was I went online and typed to all of my ministerial friends that I was not looking for any words of prophecy, words of wisdom, or anything else coming from them toward me concerning my son's condition. And one of those reasons was because if someone would have sent me a prophecy saying, thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen with your child, I would have decapitated them.
Right.
Because that would not have went over well. Because then I would have been expecting you to explain to me why the word of the Lord did not come to pass.
Right.
And so it was very difficult for me and my husband in the process of all of this to deal with how that grief was. Because a lot of people, especially in church, we have this tendency to want to fix it for people. You know, Jesus fixed
it.
So we're going to quote the word, and we're going to pray, and we're going to do all this, and we're going to give you a word that's supposed to make your pain go away. I think most people are very uncomfortable when they're dealing and facing with people who are dealing with pain. It's uncomfortable
Amen.
For the person in pain. It's uncomfortable for the people who are watching you in pain.
Right.
They don't know what to do with it. So we say a lot of stuff. And at the
yep.
same time, when our son passed, our daughter, our middle child, also had a child. So people
mm-hmm.
said things to us like, well, you know, the Lord is giving you a grandson, you know, to kind of help you through what's
wow.
going on with your son. Which at that time, my response to them was, and I'm a phlegmatic like your daughter. So
okay.
my response to them at that time was, do you realize the spiritual and mental tag you're putting on my grandson to carry regarding
mm.
the death of my son? Because you're connecting his birth with his death. So do you
right,
want
right.
me to mentally make that spiritual connection for that? Now,
wow.
I understand that we all speak about, you know, people tell me, oh, God needs an angel. God don't need another angel. This is my thought. Now, for some people, these things, those kind of statements and thoughts make a lot of sense. But to
right.
me, as an analytical thinker, that made no
right.
sense whatsoever. It
right.
didn't go together. So all of those are just excuses or things. I'm like, well, if that makes you feel better, great, you know, whatever. But that don't work in my life because my grief is about missing my son, and there is no one else that can fill that space. There's no duplicate, no replication. There's no replacement for
Amen.
Him in that space,
Amen.
In that place. So then we've had other friends who have said, as you stated earlier, you know, well, there's a time limit on grief. Well, there is no time limit on grief. I know people like to say that and believe that, but the time limit is what it takes you to work through and process your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And because different kinds of people have different kinds of situations, and especially the loss of a child is one of the things that is one of the losses that cause the most incidences of complicated grief.
Right.
Which are people who suffer from. So my husband and I both have gotten diagnosed with PTSD because I was his caregiver as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With PTSD, we both have gotten diagnosed with anxiety disorder and depression.
Right.
To name some of the things. Now, I managed to come through because I do have some background in counseling, so therefore
mm-hmm.
it made it easier for me to work through some of my things. And plus it helped me, again, with my personality to go through things analytically rather than
right.
dealing with them in my emotional place and space. But it also
right.
helped also for me to be able to understand some certain things about God and my relationship with God.
Amen. Amen.
And that regardless of how the, mm-hmm.
Now, so let me ask you this question. So your secondary is melancholy?
His is melancholy. Mine actually was, I believe, and I forget. My friend always tells me she thinks I'm choleric on some end. So I forget what my secondary is.
I think yours is melancholy. I mean, I don't know you personally,
up.
But I'm listening to you communicate. And it sounds like to me, first of all, phlegmatics make great counselors, by the way. Because they make good listeners. Yeah, they make good listeners, and people respond to them because you're very genuine and caring. But it's your intellect that's making me think that you're probably secondary melancholy, and the fact that you are dealing with things in an analytical way, and that's what melancholies do. Melancholies are very
mm-hmm.
analytical. They have to process things a certain kind of way in a certain kind of order. So you sound, as I hear you communicate, you sound like you're a phlegmatic melancholy. But the, one of the things that you mentioned when you were talking about there's no time limit on grief, I think that how we process grief is different for every person. I agree with that.
Correct.
And what I think
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I was saying, your grief has a limit. If your grief is going, if you're in a place where you're falling into a depression, I'm not saying that you're not going to grieve your child for whatever time period it takes you to do that. What I'm saying is that when you fall into a depression, when you can't get out of bed in the morning, when you can't, you know, I can't think about the person that I lost. I can't even say their name. I can't go to work. I can't function. I think that's
mm-hmm.
when we need to realize that it has gone beyond grief. It's gone to a place where you really need to get some help, counseling, something
yes.
that's going to help you. And I went through that. So this is the first time I think you said you heard the show. When I lost my mother, I didn't even realize I had gone beyond grief. I was going into a depression. I was sitting in, I have a recliner because I had a number of neck surgeries. So I bought a recliner, and I was sitting in my recliner every day watching television and not really watching it. It was watching me. I would cry at commercials and things of that nature. And I had a friend who said to me that you are going, she said, I believe you're going through a depression. I said, well, why would you say that? You know, because I'm thinking, I'm a Christian. No way am I going through a depression. Why would you say that to me? And so she said, because you don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to talk to anybody. I remember the phone would ring, and I could see the caller ID on my television. I would just roll my eyes in the back of my head thinking, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize. Right, and I'm a sanguine, and we, you know, we want to have fun, and we love to talk to people, and we love to, you know, to go places and do things. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to be bothered. And she picked that up about my personality that I didn't even notice was happening to me. And so that's when I say there's a limit to things. I mean, grief, it's because when that grief becomes something more than grief and becomes a depression, we have to recognize that if we're, you know, not functioning. I mean, grieving is one thing. If you're not functioning, it's more than a grief. It's now a depression.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I think that people need to, you know, pay attention to.
And you're correct, because if it gets to that point, then you do need to go and get help, because at that point you're dealing with complicated grief at that point, and which is more than just the regular thing. And most people turn around and say, you know, about 2 years it'll take. Most of the research says about 2 years it takes for people to kind of process through to come to the end of this point in this time. But again, one has to consider what is happening, what is the relationship, was this a traumatic death, was it an expected death, death of a child, you know, there's so many other things that have to be considered in there. And one of the things for myself that I have to work on to try to help me work my way through it was that no one could tell me a time limit. Because many people, you know, sometimes when my pastor would try to talk to me about stuff, you know, they try to point out other people who lost somebody and look how they're doing now. Well, great. Okay, so now I'm supposed to get in competition with my grief. Ooh, I got mine over in 6 months. You got yours over in 9. Ooh, I win. What do I get? You know, nobody wants to open the door and say, look what she gets. She gets a new car. That doesn't happen. So I'm not in competition, and no one is in competition with someone else to deal with their grief. And so sometimes when people say certain things, and if it's not quantified or qualified when it's said, then what happens is it becomes more of a guilt factor that keeps you and pushes you back into grief, because then you start comparing yourself and holding up this thing about, I should be here. Why am I not at that place? Why am I not here? Why am I not there?
And I totally agree with you. And I think that I went to grief counseling. That's one of the things that helped me to at my church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that allowed me to really come out of that place that I didn't even know I was in. But it helped me to do that, because one of the things it said, it talks about, is that we all grieve differently. And one of the things they wouldn't let you do is touch each other while you were sharing whatever it is you were sharing. You couldn't touch anybody. And pat them up, because you would just, you know, suck those feelings back then. And so there were things that we had to do to help us to get beyond the grief and get to the place of healing. But you have to experience your feelings. You have to allow them. God gave us emotions for a reason. I mean, it doesn't even make sense that we're not supposed to go through the emotion. Otherwise, why would he give it to us? He gave it to us because we're supposed to get through the pain of whatever we're going through. Even Jesus wept. The Bible says so.
And that is a difficult thing for us as people, because when we're in church, we're kind of not taught that we're going to have these kind of situations, that we will have. I mean, we quote it, that in this life you shall suffer tribulations or turmoil, but we don't. On the other end, then we kind of preach against that's going to happen. And so then when it happens, you know, because if we have enough faith, if we tithe, if we do this, if we do that, if we do this, then things are going to go, A-okay, you know, yippee-skippy, but it doesn't happen that way. So then there's when you start talking about the recalibrating of your life and the re-looking at your life about what this is or what this means or that, it also causes you to have to re-look at your faith, what it is you really believe. what do you really understand about your faith?
Right. That's right.
Because all things don't all of a sudden add up. And so there are some things you're going to go, well, yeah, I'm going to keep this. Some things I'm not going to keep. And that can also cause distancing, more isolation, because there's a lot of things you deal with. There's isolation you're dealing with. There's depression you're dealing with. There's all kind of things that go on in there. And even if you're, and if you're married, which I am, that can become a different, another problem and struggle, because their method of dealing with grief and your method of dealing with grief are two different kinds.
Right.
And so
how do you
communicate and support one another in those places? Because when you were talking about your friend, she was ready to talk about her grief, but that was more overwhelming than you could take at that moment. And so that's great and therapeutic, but would she be able to be receptive of going, I just can't hear this right now. I'm not rejecting you. I'm not pushing you away or saying I don't want to be here for you, but right now I can't be here for you in that way.
And she really didn't understand it. She really didn't understand it because she was melancholy. And, and you know, as a melancholy, she needed to feel her feelings and talk about her feelings and share her feelings. And I just couldn't handle it. I mean, this was the loss of my mother. I mean, I lost my sister. And all of my losses have been great to me. But the loss of my mother was then I had already lost my dad when I was in my 20s. And now I've lost my mother, and I felt like I had said on the show before, like I was a puppet and the strings had been cut, and I had no attachment to anyone. And that's the best way I could describe my feelings. And here I am, and she had lost both her parents too, so she felt like we shared the same experience, and therefore we can share the grief together. No, I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it. I just wanted to feel my own pain and go through my own pain and work through my own, you know, what I was feeling and then remember my own, my mother and not talk about your mother at the same time. I just couldn't do it. It was just so devastating for me to have to manage what I thought was her grief and my grief at the same time. It was just too much. So when you're right, when you're married to somebody, then you got to deal with that stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, it is just one of those things that it is a shared experience, but it is an individual process.
Yes,
and
it
so
is.
Trying
oh,
to get those
that.
Two to get those
I
two
love,
managed.
No, perfect. That was perfectly, beautifully stated. You know, it's a shared experience, but it's an individual process. That's perfectly stated. You know, and I wish I had known you then. I probably would have been able to get through it a lot easier and a lot better. But I really appreciate you calling in and talking to me and sharing. And I'm so glad you listened to the show tonight.
Oh, well, it was a shock. God sent. So I will say one last thing, which is about your player haters, which I really don't understand player haters. Maybe that's a personality thing again, because I can't understand. If I'm not paying attention to your life, why are you paying attention to mine? So, no, I don't have player haters. And if I do, I probably don't recognize them anyway.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll put you back on mute, okay? All right, thank you,
Deanna.
Bye-bye. I love that. Oh, I love it when people get really involved in the conversation, especially on the Ask Karen night, because I really want to hear what people have to say and the comments that they're making. I just think that it's really a blessing when, you know, you have people, she's doing a paper on grief, and she's really lived the grief, so she knows how she feels about grief and how it's impacted her and her family and how that could be a blessing to everybody else who's listening. So I thank you, Deanna, for coming on the show and talking about that with us. We're coming to the end of the show. We didn't get through all the topics that we really wanted to get through tonight, but I think it's important that we spent time on the areas that was important to you. And that's what Ask Karen is about, is what is on your heart and what is on your mind. We did talk a little bit about player haters and how we've had people that hate on you. Deanna said she doesn't understand how, you know, about player haters, because if I'm not in your life, why should you be all in my life? But there are people who just can't seem to appreciate, you know, where God is taking you. And that's okay, because they don't have to. You just have to appreciate and give thanks to it, because guess what? Our player haters make us better. They make us stronger. They make us you know, more directed and more on point with whatever it is God is calling us to do. Because we, you know, if somebody hating on what you're doing, then you probably ain't doing what God has called you to do in the first place. If people are okay that you're doing what you're doing, then you're probably living with the world standards and not what God has called you to do. Whenever God is calling you to do something, somebody is going to be hating on it. You can count on that. So just stay focused on what God has called you to do, because that's what's most important. It's not about, you know, what everybody else thinks. There's a scripture that says in Psalm 69:4-4, it says, "Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs on my head. Many enemies try to destroy me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal." What you all need to know is that Jesus was hated and crucified, and he sinned not. He didn't do one thing. What makes us feel as though we're immune from persecution? People are going to persecute you. They're going to say all kinds of awful things about us. Sanguines have a hard time wrapping their heads around unfair treatment or when people are talking about them or saying awful things about them. We believe that everybody should be treated fairly, especially us. Colleagues care about justice. We will fight vigorously to correct wrongs done to ourselves and to other people. Melancholies become wounded when their character is assassinated. They don't understand why people would feel the way and would treat them the way they treat them. Phlegmatics become they become upset when they're accused of something or that somebody lies on them. They take it personally because they are usually very upstanding individuals. Reconciling relationships really can be difficult with people who harm and hurt us. And so we have to be careful not to do the same to other people. We're all faced with difficult situations, and we all deal with those difficulties differently based on your personality style. Now, I want to make sure that you understand that, you know, the scripture talks about in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's not always easy to forgive people who play a hate on you or stab you in your back or hurt you. It's not. It's not easy to be kind and tenderhearted to those individuals, especially when we're experiencing conflict with them. However, it's exactly what God expects for us, to be tenderhearted, to be kind, to be gentle, to be forgiving. It's easy to be kind to people who treat us well. It's not always easy to be kind to people who don't. Listen, that's it for our show tonight. If you want to learn more about your personality and you want to purchase a personality assessment, you can log on to my website on www.beyond2llc.com. That's beyond2llc.com. You can also sign up to our mailing list by logging on to that same website, beyond2llc.com. You can follow me on blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking so that you can get future updated information on this show. You can follow me on facebook.com/personalityspeaking. I'm also on Twitter, on twitter.com, P like Peter, E-R, speaking. Personality Speaking airs every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our next show airs next Thursday evening, August the 13th, and I want you to remember that personality speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationship one personality at a time. Thank you, good night, and God bless you.